I wanted to do something that Ben was talking about as far as different gifts that we all have. I wanted to ask two people to stand up, Mickey and Todd. Todd Bauer and Mickey DeBoo, could you stand up? Don't worry, I didn't tell them I was going to do this. You know, some of us are quiet thinkers, and go ahead and stay up. Some of us are quiet thinkers, and some of us just think aloud. And I tend to be one of those people that think aloud. I just, when I think of something, I say it, and I don't really think through it. And these are two people that have been part of my life for the last couple of years, and that are part of this body, and they're quiet thinkers. And I just wanted people to recognize them. Mickey and Todd are both part of the campus ministry group, and thanks, guys, for staying. I know that was embarrassing for you, but now you know them. So those quiet thinkers, sometimes we need to recognize them and go to them because they're not going to come to us as much. As I was thinking about coming up here today and some of the things that I would want to talk about, and there are just so many things, so many needs, and so many things to say that were running through my head over the last week, and I just kept thinking about all the different things that we could do for each other, and what could I possibly share, or could we share together that we could leave here and it have helped significantly in any area. And some of the areas I thought of was that there's some proud people here. I can relate to this one, you know, that maybe we could make some people humble, or sick well, or rich generous, or take away pain or loneliness or temptations or troubles or doubt, or replace lost loved ones. And as I started going through these, as you can see, these are things that I really can't do. So the more I started thinking of, wow, you know, I'm one of those people that I got everybody to go to when it was a big, when I was thinking, boy, you know, maybe I should go to graduate school. You know, I got people to go to grad school, but I never went to grad school. I was always thinking big, you know, and but I couldn't do it all. But I always want to do the big thing. You know, not that I want to be part of the big thing, but I want to see things happen. I just see how God can work in our lives and how things can happen if we work together. But you know, it just, sometimes it's frustrating because it just never always seems to work out. So I keep going through these things and I thought, you know, I don't really have anything to say. But I didn't want to call the elders and say, you know, you better get somebody else because I can't do anything. There's really nothing that I can do. And I began to realize that, you know, I think all of us in our life probably feel like that at some point, don't we? Maybe a lot of us feel that way now. That there's so many things that we feel like we should be doing, or that we need to be doing, or we see people that we feel like we should be helping, and we just can't do it all. And it gets frustrating, and you get tired. And I'm just thinking about my little community I'm in right now. And I'm thinking about college students. And, you know, I don't know how many times I've told people, there's over 100,000 students in the metropolitan area. 100,000. And you know how many I met with last week? Probably 30, 35. You know? And I'm trying really hard to get with students and to meet people and to try to help people. And 35 out of over 100,000. You know, it's just overwhelming. Is any of this making sense? Is this, anybody relate to this at all? You just feel like, phew. You know, when I came in, I don't know if any of you came in early, it had to love the Lord your God with all your heart. So, you know, you see that one a lot. And it seems like when you're feeling like this, when you're feeling like, boy, there's all this stuff out there, and I just can't do all this. And then you see this scripture, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you're like, okay, I already feel like I can't do it all. And now God's telling me not only should I love Him with all my heart, but I need to love everybody else too. Not only you, but everybody else in the world. And then I started looking at that scripture and I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to focus on the love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe I need to learn how to love myself. You know, and then I kind of had this little short fantasy of, okay, well, how can I love myself? Man, I'm going to go just drop everything and I'm just going to go to some warm climate where there's some mountains and I'll go hiking and nobody will be with me. And I'm going to have a plane come and it's going to drop steaks and Chinese food and it's going to be hot because I like my food hot. And as I walk along the trail at just the right times, so they're going to drop my food. And then on the trail, at the points right about where I'm going to be tired and ready to sleep, there's going to be a nice firm mattress because I got a bad lower back. So I don't want to sleep on the ground. And the stars are going to be out and the moon's going to be beautiful and there's going to be great sunsets and there's going to be great sunrises. And then I'll learn just how to love myself. And then I can go out and start doing the others and love others. And you know, but as I kind of woke up from that little dream there, I realized, you know, that probably wouldn't work. I mean, that wouldn't be really fulfilling. It might be for a few days. I don't know, some of you might be for a few months or maybe a year. Maybe you're feeling that much that you think, yeah, I could do that. I'd feel all right with that. But after a while, you wouldn't be real fulfilled. You'd miss people. You know, I know I'd miss my wife. I'd miss my children. I'd miss my family. I'd miss this church. And not only that, I'd feel guilty. You know, I'd feel bad about that. I'd have obligations. I'd be wondering, well, I wonder who's doing some of the stuff that I should be doing, and on and on. So that wouldn't work. So what would I do? I thought, well, I'd just come back. I'd come back and I'd start over again. And I'd say, all right, I'm gonna do better this time. You know, I'm gonna be more organized and I'm just gonna be more loving. That's the way it's gonna be. I'm just gonna be more loving. And I try again and I probably have some highs and I probably have some lows and I could get myself right back into that thing of saying, wow, what a mess. What do we do? Who do we turn to? I'm asking a question. God, somebody's going. Yeah, I guess that's what hit me is I thought, yeah, Jesus. That is kind of the purpose we're here, isn't it? At least originally that was the purpose we came here to meet together today, wasn't it? Was because of Jesus. And so all these things are out there. But I came here because of Jesus, not because I wanted to fix the world, although I want to, not because I want to love better than I am loving right now, although I want to, not because I think I got this grand idea of how to make a perfect world, and in my mind, I think I do. I came here because of Jesus. And so I started thinking about, okay, who is Jesus? That's an easy question, right? Who, if I just ask you right now, who is Jesus, what would you say? Son of God. Anybody else? King of Kings. Is that it? Is that all he is? Savior? Anyone else? Mentor? Friend? Teacher? Okay, we could keep going, right? But I went to the scripture and I looked at Mark. I wanted to look at, you know, when you're talking about somebody and we're all here because of Jesus, or at least originally we were, and hopefully we are. But we're going to say good things about him. So I went to someone who wasn't a big fan of Jesus to see what he said about him. And in Mark 15, verse 39, this is right after Jesus was crucified. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And starting in verse 39, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. So, even this centurion admitted, this is the Son of God. This Jesus who we came here, the reason we're here together, is the Son of God. And then I went to Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that it was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for being our God. I thank you for sending him to this earth. I thank you, Father, for his willingness to die on the cross for us. I thank you for all the things that he is for us. And I ask you, God, to forgive us when we try to live our life on our own after Jesus has done something for us like he has. After you have sacrificed your son for us, that we would try to walk off on our own and do our own thing. Please help us, God, today to recommit ourselves to living the life that you have given us the opportunity to live. We pray through Christ's name. Amen. So Jesus is God. He's our Savior. He is life. He is a good shepherd. These are just some things I just pulled out of what we just read. He is joy. He is joy. He is joy. I said that one three times for a purpose. I think we sometimes forget that. Jesus is our joy. He is with us. He is love. And when I thought of Jesus' love, my first thing I thought of was the 70s. I'm getting old. You know, love, peace. But the kind of love that Jesus has for us, he says himself, is love that comes from the Father. And it's the kind of love that he laid his life down for us. It's the kind of love that many reject him, yet he still has hope. It's the kind of love that innocent blood was shed for the guilty, and I'm one of the guilty party. And I said, what kind of love is this? Because I want this. I mean, doesn't that sound like something that you want? I don't necessarily want to die on a cross. I don't want to be rejected by people, but I want the kind of love that can continue loving despite that. And Susan, in one of her ladies' Tuesday morning class, thank you, they were looking at John chapter 21, and we were sharing some things about that, and about agape love versus phileo love. And without going into a big definition, basically agapeo love is a wider, more embracing love that includes the judgment and the deliberate assent of the will. It's more of a love of the heart. And phileo love is a brotherly love. It's a fondness of someone. It's a friend. But it's more of the head. It's not as deep. It's not as embracing. And let's see, is everybody in John 21? Probably everybody's there but me right now. When I started looking at this, in John 21, the story starts in verse 15. And what happens, a lot of us are familiar with this. Jesus three times asks, Peter, do you love me? And the first two times, he's asking, do you agapeo me? And Peter's answer is, I phileo you. And so Jesus is asking, do you love me with the love that only comes from God, that originates from Him? And He's saying, Jesus, I brotherly love you. I am fond of you. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you've done. And He asked him that again. And finally, the third time, Jesus says, do you phileo me? And he says, yes, I do. And during this time, he's telling him what to do. He's given his calling. Feed my sheep. Then, after Jesus gives in and says, okay, do you phileo me? He tells him what's going to happen. Starting in verse 18, I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said, follow me. And I think what Jesus was trying to say is that you are right. You cannot love me on your own with this kind of love. But you're going to have to if you're going to follow me. And Peter, as you remember, tried this once before. Remember, he's the bold one. He's the one that said, you're not going on the cross. And he said, behind me, Satan. And then he said, I won't deny you. And he said, you'll deny me three times. You can't follow me where I'm going. And he couldn't. Peter could not follow Jesus in his footsteps to the cross. And neither can we. But the good news is, what Jesus is telling him here is that you can do it with the love that only comes from God. Okay, so I'm looking at this and I'm saying, Susan and I are talking and I'm getting fired up because I really started feeling like this is what's been going on in my life the last year. And maybe this is what's been going on in the life of this church for the last couple of years. Because I remember coming here the first time I came here, and there was something different. And I didn't know what it was then, but I think now I'm understanding that agapeo love was here. I saw that. You can see phileo love in a lot of churches and a lot of different places. You know, people who are devoted to coming, they come to church and they greet you and they're nice and they do service work and they're doing all the right things, but there's something just not quite there. And there was something I saw in a lot of people in this body. And I liked that. I wanted that. I want you to do something for me. I want you to kind of change a perspective here for you, all right? I'm going to set up a scene, all right? God has just come and given us a revelation. And he says, this ceiling above us is going to crash down on us at the end of this service. There will be no survivors. So we got about, let's see, how far are we from 2 o'clock? Okay, we got about, is it only 11? Okay. We got about 15, 20 minutes. The ceiling's going to come down. It's going to, no survivors. And the only thing that they're going to gather from here is going to be that tape up there that Bruce has that's gathering the information that's being spoken into this microphone or that's been heard from these people out here. And what's going to happen is there's going to be a journalist and he's going to come in and he's going to wonder, what were these people about? What were these people like? What were the last things that they were talking about? And he's going to pick up that tape. Okay, so try to the rest of this time come from that perspective. And And just see if maybe your thought process would be different than if you didn't have the perspective. Because in essence, we really don't know if that might happen, right? I mean, we're not sure if we're going to live another 50, 60 years or if we're going to live another 5 or 10 minutes. And so I think it's important to kind of do that sometimes, to think about the perspective of what would happen. What would people think about us? What do we want to leave other people to know about us, what we're about? Okay. Now, with that, I want to ask this church at Mid County the same question that was asked here to Peter. Do you love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? Now remember, this, I got the mic here. Maybe I should.
Let me try this again, okay?
I'm going to hold this out, okay? Because this is important. Remember, it's we don't have much longer here. This is it. This guy is gonna take this tape, and I'm just thinking, when I say, "Do you love Jesus?" and he hears, "Yeah, yeah." I don't think that's what we're about. Okay, Mid County Church, do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Do you really love Jesus?
Yes.
Do you truly love Jesus?
Yes.
Thank you. It's going to be amazing if this really happens, you know. Well, then what do we need to do? You know, I think our tendency is to go, man, I need to get into the Word more, don't I? I need to start serving people more. I need to pray more. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do this. And yes, some of those things, or one of those things, or many of those things, might be some of the things we need to do. But I think the key thing that we need to do is that we need to seek the Father. That needs to be the top priority in our life. And I don't care if you have to quit everything. I don't care if you have to change your job. I don't care if you have to quit. I don't, you know, if we can't even meet together because we don't have enough people that can do everything because we're all seeking God so hard, is that a bad thing? Don't you think there'll be a way that we'll figure out how to come together? Maybe we won't have any chairs to sit on. Maybe we'll have to sit on the floor because nobody came in to set up the chairs. Maybe we'll have to have the kids with us because there's nobody to watch the kids. Well, you know, I want to start. I'm speaking for myself here, okay? That's what I want. I want my top priority. I want my life to be about seeking the Father. Because He has this love. It originates with Him. It originates nowhere else. As much as I appreciate everyone here, and as much as some of you really show love to me, you don't have it. He does. So I need to go to Him. And if I stop going to Him and I just start doing all this stuff, then what's going to happen? I'm going to be that frustrated guy that I was just telling you about, me, that gets weary and tired and guilty because I can't do all the things I see that I need to do. And the world's a mess. What am I doing? You know, I have Christ in me. And what am I doing? I'm squandering these opportunities. And that's the way I feel. But that's not my burden. That's not your burden. Jesus Christ died for us because He knew we couldn't do that. And so what do we need to do now? We need to go back to the source and ask Him for that love and demand it. Well, not... Okay. But, I mean, ask for it in that way. God, I want Your love, because I don't have it. My heart is wicked. I want that kind of love because I want to love people. I don't want to be frustrated with what's going on in the world. I want to make a difference. I want, when they pick up that tape, what was this church about? What were these people about? To say, they were a mess, but I tell you what, they were about God.
And they had a devotion to him, and they had a love that was incredible, that was beyond anything that you could get from this world. No, they didn't have a lot of things, or they weren't the most organized group I've ever seen in my life. Does that sound familiar? But they loved God. And that's what this church is. You know, we talk a lot about vision and what's our vision and what are our goals and what are we about and how are we going to do it. And it's simple, isn't it? We're about God. We're about being a child of God. And so let's go back to Him. He's the source. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. You know, I want you to think back to when you first became a Christian, if you are a Christian. I want you to think back to that time and think about the excitement that you had. I mean, some of the things I'm talking about started when I became a Christian. And I'm like, I am new. I'm forgiven. I have a changed perspective in life. Things are different. And it's kind of like a little kid, you know. That's what I love about Sierra and Lucas. You know, a lot of times they'll say things, and I'm like, you don't get it. They're so innocent. They don't realize some of the troubles ahead. And so they have this great, fresh, new perspective. And I had that. And I was going to tackle the world. And as we all know, you know, Satan is out there too. And we've got the flesh and we've got the spirit. And as you remember Paul, he went back and forth. You know, Paul, this great spiritual, he's like, what I want to do, I can't do. And what I know I should do, I don't. And on and on and on. What a wretched man am I, Paul says. But when you walk through, for me, when I walk through campus and I see all these people, I want to know, did you start over? Or are you still walking in this dead body that's going nowhere? And then I go right back to that guilt thing. Oh, I need to get up and stand up and start evangelizing, right? Well, I know that doesn't work, especially on a campus. Anyway, I was reading this in Galatians chapter 2. Verse 17, if we will seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners. Does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If we rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. You ever see, you know, the crucifixes with Christ up on there? You don't have to do this, but sometimes it helps me to symbolize something. And as we read this, we're going to read, I've been crucified with Christ. And one way I think, when I think of God on the cross, when we just had communion and we were thinking about His body and His blood, a lot of times I think of myself standing below the cross with Him up there. And sometimes I even imagine just His blood dripping on me and turning me white as snow. So, if you will, as we read this, put your arms up and imagine yourself being crucified. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Last week, Ron Burge came up here, if you were here. And he started weeping. And I don't know how many of you were, but I was crying myself. And you know, I think the reason I was crying is because I remembered that Christ died for me. I was crying because he was crying. But I was crying because why he was crying. Because he was remembering that his sins put Christ on the cross. And that we were about to take communion, and we're about to remember that we too were crucified. And that's what I want to be known about. I want to be known as people who first seek God for everything and are new creations. This is actually going to be short. That's really all I had to say. You know, once I went through all these things that I wanted to fix and I wanted to do, I realized all there was Christ, really. And really that is all there is. And I've been crucified with Christ. And now I live. And I want us all to live. I want us to stop being tired and burdened. So we're going to sing that song here in a minute. And I just hope that some people will come forward and just lay down some burdens if you've got some. Or if you don't know Christ and you haven't been following Christ, then come and let's do it. Because it's good. You know, the bad stuff that you see is us following ourselves. It's not us following Christ. And if you got some sin in your life that you've been holding on to and it's keeping you from that, you know, you can't go to the Father and get this love if you've got some sin blocking your way. So get rid of it. This is a forgiving place. This is a good place to confess some sins. Because you can be forgiven by these people. Because we're all sinners. And there's a lot of us that have been there, probably where you are. So if you need to do that, come forward. And as we sing this song, as we leave, since we're leaving early, hopefully, I hope the rest of this week you can think about not what are all the things I need to do and all the things that I'm not doing that I should be doing, but you can be thinking about what is it that I can do, that I can know Christ, that I can know God, that I can seek that kind of love that He has more than anything else. And I don't care what it is you've got to get rid of. I just pray that through our minds and through our thoughts all week will be God, and that we'll be asking Him to have that kind of love that He has given us. So that we can love Him back. Isn't it ironic? What He's wanting from us is what we can only get from Him. So all He's asking is for us to give some of that back. And when we do, it overflows, and then we start giving it to everybody else. Don't you love those kind of people? And I just got an email from Andy Becker. And she's just in the email. Her hands were going like this in the email. There's so much going on in her life. She's just filled with the Spirit. And I want that. I want all of us to have that. I don't want us to be hurt and burdened. This life is short, and our new life that we have goes on forever. Let's pray. Father God, we give You praise. We give You honor. We give You glory. We give